A visit with a young friend. The next day, my brother being away upon an important mission, I started out alone to see if I might find the dear young friends of whom I had caught a fleeting glimpse the day before. I knew all things were ordered aright in that happy world, and that sooner or later I should find them again, yet I hoped it might be very soon. I thought again of that happy light on their faces as they had met the beloved master, and I had become so absorbed in these thoughts that I was oblivious even to the beautiful world around me. Suddenly I heard someone say, "Surely that is Mrs. Springer," and, looking up, I saw sweet Mary Bates a few steps away, regarding me intently. I cried joyfully, "My precious Mamie!" She flew into me, and, holding me in her arms, drew my head to her shoulder in the old caressing way, almost sobbing in her great joy. "How did you know I was here, Mamie?" "The master told me," she said softly. "May had already told me, and we were on our way to find you when we met him, and he told us he had just left you." "Then we knew we must wait a little," she said reverently. How my heart thrilled! He had thought about me, had spoken of me after we parted. I longed to ask her what he had said, but dared not. Seeming to divine my thoughts, she continued, "He spoke so tenderly of you, and said we must be with you much. May had work to do today, and she has already seen you once, so I came alone. She may be here later on. May I stay a long time with you? There is so much to tell you, so much to talk about." "Indeed you may. I had started out to find you when we met. Come, dear child, let us return home at once." So clinging to each other, we set out toward my home. "What shall I tell you first?" I asked. "Everything about my dear friends and family, every individual member of our beloved household. Begin with my precious heartbroken mother. She has, I fear, a great unreconciled sorrow. If only she could spend 1 hour with me here, could know God's wisdom and love as we know it, how the clouds would lift from her life." "Yes, dear," I answered. I always urged her to think of it in that light, and to trust implicitly in the Father's tender care and never-failing love. But it is difficult for us to see beyond the lonely hearthstone and the vacant chair. Still, I believe she does begin to dimly grasp the comfort you are so eager to impart. A loving look from the Master. As we walked on slowly, conversing about the earth life, still in many other phases so dear to us, she asking little questions, I answering as best I could, we saw a group of 4 persons, 3 women and a man, standing a little to one side of the walk. The man's back was toward us, but we at once recognized the master. The women were all strangers, and one of them seemed to have just arrived. The Savior held her hand as he talked with her, while all were intently listening to his words. We regarded the group in silence as we slowly passed, not hoping for recognition from him at such a time, but, just as we were opposite to them, he turned and looked upon us. He did not speak, but oh, that look! So full of tenderness and encouragement and benediction. It lifted us. It bore us upward. It enthralled and exalted us. And as we passed onward, the clasp of our hands tightened, and rapture unspeakable filled our hearts. After a while, I whispered half to myself, "Was there ever such a look?" Instantly, Mary raised her head, and looking at me, questioned eagerly, "You think so too? I was sure you would. It is always just so. If he is too engaged to speak with you at the time, he just looks at you, and it is as though he had talked a long while with you. Is he not wonderful? Why could we not know him on earth as we know him here?" "How long were you here before you met him?" I asked. "Oh, that is the wonderful part of it. His was the first face I looked upon after I left the body. I felt bewildered when I first realized that I was free, and stood for a minute uncertain what to do. Then I saw him standing just beside me with that same look upon his face. At first I felt timid and half afraid. Then he stretched forth his hand to me and said gently, "My child, I have come to take care of you. Trust me, do not be afraid." Then I knew him. Instantly all fear left me, and I clung to him, as I would have done to either of my brothers. He did not say much to me, but somehow I felt he understood all my thoughts.